Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks Life, where it's all about how-tos and reviews. I'm Larry Petrucci.
And I'm David Foster.
We are a network supported by you, our audience, so we appreciate each and every one of you who do support us by donating whatever you can a month. So thank you so much to all of you who keep us going and keep this awesome content going. Today, we have another person who actually is supported fully by you guys, Shannon Morse.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. It's so great to have you on.
It's good to see you again. I'm going to give you e-hugs.
E-hugs.
Yeah, e-hugs.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Yeah, last time we saw you in person, I guess we were at CES.
Yeah, it's been a little while, I think. Almost a year.
Yeah,
almost.
That's when I officially met you.
That's true. That was your first time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and now nice you guys have become like best of buds on Facebook, it seems.
We are besties on Facebook. We comment on each other's stuff all the time. Like time you post a picture, I'm like, ooh, what's going on up there?
Yeah, we share a lot of
interests. I've been invited over, by the way, Loria. Didn't know if you knew that.
I think I was the one who invited you, actually.
Oh, yeah, you might have been. It's one of you.
Just bring the pineapple. That's
She's got a little
pineapples.
Pineapple on her mic for those listening to audio.
This is Darren Kitchen's microphone setup. I borrowed it since I'm shooting in the studio today for the Skype call. So I figured it would be just perfect, you know, pineapple and tech thing. It works.
There you go. So you guys know Shannon from, as she said, Tech Thing and Hack 5. We're going to dive a little deeper into those shows. But if you want to give a little like snippet of those two shows for anybody who doesn't happen to know you, which sure. I don't think anybody does.
I will give you my elevator pitch. So basically, Hack 5 is all about hacking, modding, DIY, and infosec, so information security. We talk about what's happening in the news, and we also talk about how to secure yourself from getting hacked. It's a really fun show. I've learned a ton about it, and I've been teaching through the show for about 7 years. Tech Thing is more of a consumer-oriented show about all the tech, all the gadgets that are coming out right now, and we also do some how-tos and some PC builds as well. I recently built my own PC on the show, and it was very, very fun. Tech Thing is also Patreon-supported by our patrons, so we really appreciate everyone that helps on that. And you can find both of those shows at techthing.com and hak5.com or .org.
It's hard to get when you get going, right?
I know, right?
You know, when I built my first PC on camera, that was a nerve-wracking experience.
I know, right?
To do that on camera with all the judgment coming at you.
Oh, it's so scary.
How did it go?
You know, you got to make sure that your cables are organized, and you got to make sure that you're wearing this anti-static wrist wrap and everything.
Yeah, all the safety stuff, too. All the details. Don't put it in quite wrong or you're going to get in trouble.
Yes. My hardest part is always putting on the heat sink and the CPU because each of the motherboards is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always looking at it. I'm like, okay, I really need to read the directions. So hold.
Yeah, that's why I don't venture into that territory at all.
I don't blame you. It's a little complicated.
Yeah. Right.
Shall we talk about important things like what you got to drink today?
Oh, yeah. So I don't even know what this is. I stole it out of the refrigerator.
Nice.
I was like, do we have an alcoholic beverage? And my coworker was like, yeah, just look in the fridge. So I did. I stole something. It's from Sunnyvale, California. It's called the Red Branch Cider Company. It's apple honey flavored cider.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. That sounds good. Apple and honey.
It's really good. It's got an interesting aftertaste to it. You can definitely taste the apple, not so much the honey in this one, but
Okay.
Yeah, that's Red Branch Cider Company.
Is it the kind of bittery aftertaste, like a dry?
Yeah, it's definitely bitter. It's more like a green apple than a red apple, mm-hmm. if that gives you an idea.
Yep.
Ah, yes.
Okay. I mean, you're drinking a cider as well.
I am.
A dry hard cider.
So ooh. We were actually in Seattle earlier this week. Yeah, over the weekend and this week, and I tried Seattle cider. So that is actually, this is the dry. I tried a Seattle cider citrus, and that was much better. This is actually really good. I like dry ciders. The citrus added a bit of sweet to it and added a bit more flavor. The dry is kind of, well, dry. And it doesn't have a ton of like pop flavor, you know?
Yeah.
But I really enjoy that brand. It's good.
Are you saying pop flavor as in like the Indiana way of saying soda? Or are you saying pop as in like burst?
Taste bud pop?
Okay. I just had to know.
Okay.
And I am drinking a Widmer Brothers local Portland brewery drop top, which is an amber.
Amber's yum.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, you've really been enjoying that one.
I have. I actually got a case of it now, so.
I'm not huge on IPAs, but I like ambers and I like lagers a lot.
Yeah, I'm not big on IPAs either. They're way too bitter for me. Like I
me too.
So for probably a good 2-3 years, all I would drink was Guinness. Like I would not touch
really?
I wouldn't touch any beer. I didn't like Pilsners, didn't like anything. And then I stumbled on some Belgian beers, like Chimay and stuff, and I really liked that. And
that's
that
good
was
stuff.
Kinda, yeah, it is. And that was my launch into the beer world. And then as I started to acquire that taste, then I was able to, you know, kind of explore a little bit in other things. So I liked the ambers and some of the reds and Pilsners and stuff. But some of those, the IPAs and some of the more hoppy and weedy beers, I'm not big on.
Yeah.
I hear there's some good breweries up that way. So whenever I come to visit, I'll definitely have to hit them up.
Yes.
You better.
And we'll have to hit them up with you. So.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I think that was the plan.
Yeah.
That is the plan.
I would hope. You got to make sure.
You know, you got to be very specific. Yes. Very specific about the plan. So we love having you on the show, and we just kind of wanted to hear about you and your story and learn a little bit more about you and if anybody's, you know, kind of aiming to do some of the same, then give them a little bit of inspiration.
Oh, I love inspiring people. That's one of my favorite parts of the
job. Like, I don't know if you get the same thing, but like ever since I've been doing this, people's number one question is, how do you do what you do?
Right.
And so, you know, I'd like to know how you got started and what made you decide to even get into this and what you're doing and how what it's like to actually be able to do what you're passionate about every day as opposed to going and hiding in a cubicle with.
Yeah.
You know,
so answer all those questions right here at the same time.
You've
got
2 minutes.
Okay.
Go.
So I guess we should start with how I got started.
Let's start with what you're passionate about. Let's start there and go from there.
I'm more of a jack of all trades kind of person. Like I never just delved into one thing and made it my expertise. I really delve into a lot of different things and get a general knowledge of lots of different things so that I can, you know, I can converse with lots of people about what they're interested in. And I think that really helps when I'm podcasting too, because I can, you know, explain a lot of different topics to a bigger audience that can understand it really well, as opposed to a very niche audience who are all experts, if that makes sense. So a few things that I love and I'm super passionate about are theater and choir and ukuleles. As weird as that is, it's a thing.
That is not weird at all.
That is awesome.
Yeah, no, Eddie Vedder did a whole ukulele album. I don't know if you ever saw Into the Wild.
The movie, but
he did the soundtrack for that. And that's when I fell in love with the ukulele. And then Jason Mraz did some stuff and I really like the sound of it.
Yeah, it's so good. I'm learning how to play it. Never played an instrument before. And I'm almost to my 30s. So I was like, am I too old to learn an instrument? But
never.
I don't think you're ever too old to learn anything.
No.
So I was like, I'm going to get started now and see if I can figure out how to play this. And I want to play my grandma a song. You know, she lives on the other side of the country and I want to make her feel really special. So I want to do something cool for her. And I gave myself a year to learn a song and I figured I could do it. So I'm very passionate about the creative spaces. I love learning about the arts, so that's why I used to do theater and choir a lot. But I'm also very techie. I'm very geeky. So I grew up with computers, so I love building computers and figuring out hardware. I got really interested into coding a couple of years ago, and I took a class back in college on, I believe it was Java. Yeah, it was Java. So
it sunk in, didn't it?
Yeah. I think I'll just, yeah. Maybe I shouldn't tell people I took a class in Java. Need to learn Java. Ugh. Sorry, guys. I also learned C++. Does that make me better?
No, you know what? Based on, just do it based on their reaction. If they react poorly, then say, no, I mean coffee.
Right.
There we go.
A savior there.
And I love Japanese culture and anime. And I love learning about gadgets and the insides of gadgets and how they work. And I've been getting really into soldering and breadboards and Arduinos and Raspberry Pis recently, too. So I have lots of different interests, but most of them are around the arts and technology.
That is awesome. Yeah, it is. See, that's what I love about asking people kind of what they're passionate about, because it opens up. We as humans are just, we're versatile, right? We are so into so many different things if we allow ourselves to be. And I love learning and just the idea of, like, I've been wanting to learn to play a musical instrument, because I started piano when I was really, really young. Really? And I only got a few lessons in before it was too expensive for my family to keep going.
Aww. And but see, I didn't know this about you.
Right. That's awesome. We don't know these things about each other. And so it's good to kind of open up the conversation, and maybe, like, your journey will actually inspire me to get my hands on a piano or a guitar or something.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I will upload a YouTube video when I feel like I'm good enough.
There you go.
I'll share it with you.
Periodically have you back on the show to get your, you know, updated, see how your chops are coming along.
Exactly.
See how good I'm getting at the uke. Yeah. I'm not very good yet.
So you say you grew up with computers. What does that mean? Like, grow up like 10 years old or what?
No, my dad, he was like super hardcore geek well before I was born. So when I was born, my nursery, because my dad was military, so we moved around a lot, and we always had those small, like, on the fort housing, and they don't give you very big places to live in. So my nursery was also the computer room. So he had a computer in my nursery when I was a baby. And I know that we have pictures of me, like, sitting on his lap and just jamming at a keyboard trying to figure out things. And eventually I got to the point where I was able to, like, you know, build my own websites in GeoCities. And I was pretty young at the time, so I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I learned how to build computers when I was around, I want to say 12 or so was when I built my first computer, and it was a family machine, so, you know, no big deal, but it was pretty awesome. So I grew up around, you know, going to the computer store and looking at motherboards and learning about why I want to choose this MOBO over this one, because that one's compatible with the correct RAM, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, it was very natural to understand and want to use computers for, like, daily life.
That's awesome. And you say GeoCities. That's actually, I remember back when I was making websites with that and Homestead you know, making those things, because, like, the days of flaming GIFs and stuff like that, you know, people had fire
those
on the
side.
Those
were so cool.
It was so cool. And it's like night and day difference, but that's funny that you started off with that, but that's, it's come a long way.
Yeah.
So do you still dabble in any of that, or is that, like, did you completely put that behind you and now, I mean, you did take a class in Java, so...
Yeah, I did take a class in Java. I ended up not using any Java after college, which I didn't really expect to. I took it more of like a just an extra class. But I definitely used a lot of what I learned with, like, HTML and just building websites in general and understanding how it needs to look and feel. And I took that and was able to develop my own website, like snubsy.com, which is basically just a blog, but it really helped to understand, like, what I was doing and what people expect when they go to a website. And I also still build computers. I think I've built about 6 now. Well, if I count today's with Patrick, we just built a build video for our patrons, and that was, I think that would be number 7. If I want to count somebody else's computer.
Why not? You always can.
Why not? So, yeah, I've just been building since I was a kid. I have never... I should get some wood to knock on. I have
There's never... Behind you. Right behind you.
Had, There we go. I'll knock on it later. I've never had a computer not boot up on me when I build it. So far I've been doing good.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So it continues. That day is going to be so frustrating whenever it does happen.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I took the thing off of one time and I was going to try to change, like add memory or something, and I just couldn't figure it out, and I ended up in the corner never doing anything with it. But it was and it was something that was not a main machine.
Oh, okay.
It's just like collecting dust now.
Yeah, you know, this was like probably, I don't know.
Say many years ago.
Yeah, maybe like what were those? The Hewlett Packard.
Yeah.
286, 586, what were those?
Oh, wow.
Like the old school.
Early ones, huh?
So what you're telling me is you're really old.
I am. 45.
Just kidding. Oh, no, that's not old.
Yeah, well, you're it's good. Just old state of mind.
Right. And you definitely are not old, David.
No.
Not if you go by that definition.
I have Peter Pan syndrome for sure.
So is this what you wanted to do when you were going to college or when you were growing up? Like what was in your mind?
Who even thinks of doing podcasting when they were going to school? When I was in school, it wasn't even a thing. Like nobody podcasting, that wasn't a word.
Right.
Yeah, Steve Jobs hadn't decided we needed it yet.
Exactly. So when I was in school, in high school, I wanted to continue on and be a theater teacher, or I wanted to go into like Broadway theater as an actress. And then I got into college and I suddenly started feeling like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could actually make a living out of going to Broadway. Like there's so many people that move to New York and just have to live in this teeny tiny cubicle to survive. And I didn't know if I could deal with it. So I decided to go into another passion that I had, go figure, which was restaurant and hospitality administration.
Wow.
So at that point in college, I was like, oh, well, I would love to open up my own restaurant because that would be so fun. And it's tiring work, but it's something that I really loved. I loved, you know, making people very happy and seeing smiles on their faces and running around and doing a different thing every single day, which you do in restaurant work. So that was the thing that I thought I was going to do. And then I started doing podcasting. So obviously I don't own a restaurant.
How did you start podcasting exactly? Like what was your window into it?
For me, it was a lot of just happened to know the right people at the right time. Me and my best friend in college, we were in love with this show called Pure Ownage out of Canada. And it was a game about a couple of video gamers. So we went up there for a live show, made friends with the guys who were doing Hack 5 after going up to these live shows again and again and again over like the course of, I think, 2 years.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, they just happened to be mutual friends with the Pure Ownage people as well. So we met them and I was like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do after college. I might, you know, own my own restaurant. And then they were like, well, why don't you move to Virginia? So I did. So I ended up moving to the Hack 5 house, which was called the Hack House at the time. So we've always used that slogan for like all of the different places we've gone because we moved around a lot. I'm sure you know how that is.
Oh, yeah. And,
yeah, so I just ended up moving in with them and we did the show as a hobby for several years until it actually took off with a network, same network that you used to be on. And after that, we decided to move to San Francisco and actually make it a full-time job. Which at that point I was like, okay, this is a real thing now. It's not a hobby anymore. Interesting. What do I do?
That's a pretty bold move to move to Virginia and just go for it. And a hobby mentality as well.
It was scary. When I moved to Virginia, I decided to take a job at a local bank out there, which was great because I learned about credit card processing and how a bank works. And I really was fascinated with the security aspect of banks and how, you know, credit card processing, you have to be PCI compliant. I'm sure you've heard that word thrown around before. I learned how credit card fraud happens and what people have to do whenever they deal with that. So it was really fascinating to me. And I took the information that I learned there and was able to use it as one of my very first interests on Hack 5. So I went to that show and I was like, okay, I'm starting to understand security, started learning. And over the course of 7 years, now I'm one of the only two hosts on the show. And it worked out pretty well, I think.
I'd say it worked out very well. so you have, obviously we all have these bases of knowledge, right? And you're very open, which I love, about using the show to learn along kind of with the audience as well on certain topics.
Absolutely.
And I love that approach. So how did you decide that that was okay? Because a lot of times, especially in the tech geek world, you encounter a lot of, well, you're not, you know, like if you have, if you're not sure about something, or if you're, or you're not as expert as somebody else, a lot of negativity can come from that. So walk me through that process.
And I'll be honest with you, it does not help to be a female doing a hacker show. Right. Doesn't help at all. But
at least it didn't.
It didn't.
It's starting to more.
Now it's fine. Now it's totally fine because I own my own self, if that makes any sense again.
Yes.
It's when I first went into it, I was really self-conscious. I wasn't really sure what was going to be my thing on the show and how I was going to make people feel as if I knew what I was talking about, which I did all my research and I still do. I do all my own research, all my own writing, and I do anything I talk about on the show is something that I've studied and that I've found proof of and actually like recreated myself on my own computers. So when I was first starting off and people kind of, you know, they gave me crap, if you want to say, just for being a female and also because they didn't know who I was. So it didn't help the self-consciousness at all at that in my time frame. But over the course of time, I figured out that there was one thing missing from the InfoSec community, and that was developing an understanding for people that had never studied it before. It was very high level as far as all the information that you can find online. So I made this little place for me where I bring in new people. People call them noobs, sure, script kiddies, but my feeling is everybody starts at that beginner level. So we need to welcome more generations. We need to welcome all the younger generations, because if we don't, we're going to run out of people that understand this kind of stuff, and everybody's going to start getting hacked. And we're starting to see that now. So I'm really trying to get more people interested in InfoSec myself. And I think it really helps whenever I do these very lower level or mid-tier tutorials on the show to welcome other people, give them a really great understanding without them feeling like this is too high level for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's really good. You mentioned even wanting to kind of get girls or young girls interested in information security and trying to get them involved. And I think that's a great way to do it. And what I love about it is that you've taken something that may have given you a little bit of insecurity and found a way to kind of overcome that. So
yeah,
great job on that.
I mean, like, I have a past. Everybody has a past. I did stupid stuff before I was podcasting. But at this point in my life, I feel like I'm an adult. I know what I've done wrong in my lifetime. I know who I trusted, who I shouldn't have in the past, and I know how to go forth in my life and really own who I am and be a boss, you know? I'm a boss now.
That's awesome.
I'm proud of my life, and there is nothing out there that can hold me back. And that's how I feel now, and I feel like giving off that power and giving off that feeling of, you know what, I can do anything and nothing is going to hold me back, really helps other girls that come into our community be like, yeah, I can do that too. You know what? She'll back me up. And I'll be like, yeah, you know what? I will back you up. If anybody gives you crap, call me.
Well, my philosophy is no regrets, only lessons. Because it's you know, we have done a lot of things in our lifetime, and I know I have too, but, you know, every single ounce of it that I've gone through has led me to where I am now.
Exactly.
Same as you. So it's like,
I completely agree.
Yeah. Because some people, you know, they look at their life and they kind of regret maybe some of the choices they've made, but you made them, and I wouldn't be where I'm at right now if I would have done anything different. Maybe, we don't know.
Exactly.
You know? So
I feel exactly the same way. Like, it's so important to live a life where you don't have those kind of regrets. You can't live in the past. You really can't. And you can never learn how to live for your future if you're still just thinking about the past constantly. So I really got away from being self-conscious and just being worried that people would hate me, and starting to learn to, you know, love myself and be peaceful with my own heart and my own willpower and my own brain.
That's
and
awesome.
It really helped me. And I think it does matter if you go into some kind of subject that you're learning about and you try to pretend to be an expert, which I never do because I know that I'm not going to be that expert that everyone's expecting. It really helps when you come off like, hey, I'm learning this too. So if you figure out, you know, some kind of other way to do a code or some other way to figure out the software or some other hack or whatever it might be, a way around the hack, whatever, tell me, because I love to learn too, and I'm going to share that information. And I'll even like call you out on the show for sharing that with me. And if I make mistakes, heck yeah, I'll own up to it, because mm-hmm. that's how people are. We should be real and we should be honest, and, you know, don't lie about whatever you're trying to learn on the show with other people.
Yeah, so. I think we should have that philosophy for life in general, not just for the content that we produce or for the job that you go to every day. You know, I mean, just life in general, like.
Absolutely.
Everybody has some. Actually, this is something that my sister is always trying to teach my nephew. He's 10 years old, and it's that everybody is a teacher. It's not mm-hmm. just your teachers at school.
It's so true.
Everybody's a teacher and has something to provide to you. So I love that type of philosophy.
Yeah, it took me a really long time to kind of get into that philosophy and just be happy. with myself and be happy with, you know, my job and my life at home and everything. So I'm really glad that I'm finally at that point where I'm I'm mature.
But not old.
Yeah. Not old. That's right.
But
I'm still kid at heart.
How did you? That's a hard thing. So you say that you are comfortable with yourself and that you've gotten there. It's a process.
It was a
for
process.
People who aren't there yet. How did you get there? What was the conscious effort?
I think a lot of it was not holding in my feelings anymore. When I first started in podcasting, I wouldn't tell people if I ran across somebody, you know, saying something mean to me in the comment section on YouTube, or if somebody sent me a really mean email message, which used to happen a lot. I used to get a ton of trolls and just really hateful people that didn't know my personality, but they just hated my looks or hated how I said something.
Which is stupid.
Whatever. Speech impediments. It happens. Who cares? You know, everybody does it, but I'll just joke about it. Whatever. I won't be embarrassed. So it was really hard at first, but I didn't have really anybody to talk to. So after a couple of years of living in Virginia, and then as we moved out here to San Francisco, I started, you know, talking to new people. I met you when you were doing your show on Revision 3, mm-hmm. and I met, you know, other people that were working on other networks. And I started learning that other people were feeling the exact same way. And that helped me understand that I wasn't the only person dealing with this. And it helped me understand that I could converse with them about these kind of things. And that really, really helped me learned that I shouldn't be self-conscious about my face or whatever it might have been at the time. So thank you. Thank you, Gloria, because you helped me. You know, you probably said something in the past to the point where, you know, don't listen to those guys. And I took all of that to heart from everyone who I talked to. So thanks.
Well, and just vice versa. You have helped me. This last year has been extremely difficult for all of us over here. You know, lots of newness and changes and stuff. Yeah. And it's all been good, but very difficult. And I look to you as a role model as well, because you have accomplished that whole just gung-ho being comfortable and this is who I am. And if you don't like it, then that's your problem.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to hide how I feel or hide my opinions or whatever.
Right.
If you don't like it, that's fine. We're not all in this world to make everybody pleased.
Exactly. Yes. There's a word that I'm thinking of that starts with a capital F that would fit this, but I won't drop it at this particular time.
We'll let that up to the viewer, to the listener's imagination.
There you go. My goodness.
So is that how you would define success, by that? Or is, what would you, if you were to say I am successful, which you are by pretty much everybody's, you know, line of definition, but what is that definition to you?
I think if I was to say you can be successful, or how to find your success in life, it would just be, everybody says follow your dreams, but I'm going to just say follow your heart and follow your passion, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a dream. I mean, heck, when I was young, I dreamt about owning a pony, and now I'm like, oh, ponies, no, financially, no way. But follow your passion. If you have a passion for horseback riding, do it as a hobby. It'll make you happy. If you have a passion for learning the ukulele, buy a ukulele. Who cares? If you suck, you suck. But, you know, at least you actually put forth the effort to do it. I think putting forth effort gives you that success, even if you're terrible starting off. Like, everybody's terrible starting off. We can all find something that we're good at, and just looking for it and learning and putting forth that effort will really bring anybody in the world success.
Well, then we got an opportunity to interview a guy in Seattle that makes paper mache dragons. I don't know if you saw the time lapse that I posted.
That's so cool.
It's amazing. I mean, they look, I know they're fictitious, but they look real. You know, like if you can imagine. Well, anyway.
No, I saw you jump when it was hanging on the wall. You were like, oh my God, that's a real dragon.
Hey, I don't want everybody to know that.
That's awesome.
But so he was saying, you know, everybody wants and needs a creative outlet. And I think that people are so afraid that they're, you know, I'm going to pick up the guitar and it's going to sound like shit and I'm not going to, you know, want to keep doing it or whatever. But
yeah,
it's like, if you don't pick it up, you never, ever know. And if you're looking for that outlet, it, like, yeah, like you said, it doesn't matter if you're great. It's still an outlet if you're trying and at least trying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I picked up a ukulele for the first time back in July, never touched a guitar, never touched a uke before. And my friend was like, here, you play this note. And I was like, okay, bring. And I played the note. And then she was like, okay, now play this one and this one together. And I was like, okay, bling, bling. And I played the two notes together. And she was like, actually, that was really good. Now play it in a rhythm. So I started playing it back and forth. And I was like, you know, I used to play Guitar Hero and Rock Band in college. And she was like, and she goes, you know, that actually helps. Mm-hmm. And I said, no way. So she told me that, you know, if I keep on working at it, I already have the rhythm from Guitar Hero and from Rock Band. So, and I was terrible at those when I started off. But even just bringing back that muscle memory from those video games helped me learn how to play the uke and get a little bit of a step ahead from where I would be if I had never picked up even a Guitar Hero plastic instrument from the game. So yeah, everybody starts somewhere. And for me with a uke, I guess you could say it was playing Rock Band.
That's awesome.
So what she's saying,
for any of you out there that have always wanted to start playing guitar, get Rock Band, play that for a while, learn rhythm, and then pick up a guitar. Go.
That's all you have to do. It's probably much harder than that, but I did find it helped me with my rhythm.
Yeah.
So it was one of the good things that I have learned.
Well, and as a guitar player, I can totally see that, because when I picked up, so I started with Rock Band, then I found out there was this thing called Rocksmith, which you play an actual guitar.
Yeah.
You know, so I did the Rock Band thing, and I can totally see with the way that you still have to hit the thing in rhythm to get the note to play. And then progress into Rocksmith with that, which actually teaches you chords and notes and stuff like that. So it's kind of amazing how technology can make learning just about anything these days easier, even if it's just a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse these days for anybody not to do something.
He's getting angry.
I hear that.
No excuse.
How many sips of that beer have you had there?
Two.
Yeah, and Michael actually in the chat room brings up a good point. You know, there's that 10,000 hour rule, right? So you start somewhere, and you know, most things that you probably try and go do, even if you're really passionate about it, you may not hit that 10,000 hour.
Wow, you know what that means though? There are a ton of Facebook experts out there.
You have a very, very good point, sir.
You are on Facebook a lot. Do you, is that your social network of choice?
No. I am on Facebook as a place for my family and a lot of my close friends. So you'll find that I don't necessarily friend people that I don't know on Facebook.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's cool. It's totally cool. I mean, my profile's public. I do post public things there and people can follow me, but I don't friend people that I don't know because, you know, I'll post, you know, family pictures or whatever. And I don't necessarily feel like I have to share those publicly. Like, hey, here's my sister and me in our bikinis at the beach. I don't want to share that.
Right.
I'm good. I mean, we look awesome, but yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah, see, yeah. I take it another level. So I have my public stuff, but then to just like really, really close friends and stuff are the only people that get to see me in my Speedo. So.
Oh, exactly. So I have not seen those pictures.
Oh my God.
Thanks for the imagery.
It's an inside joke over here.
So does not exist.
I use Facebook a lot for just my place for family. And then I use Twitter is my favorite one. I love using Twitter because it's so easy to get in touch with pretty much anybody that you want to.
Yeah.
And it's a great news outlet. Oh my gosh. That's where, like, that's the first thing I open. And it's exactly where I'll see all the news break now. It's crazy. So I love going there anytime I'm interested in, hey, what's going on today? You see exactly what's happening. It's so incredible.
Well, and like taking that into like Twitter and segueing kind of into Periscope, do you see that as being a more of a news type outlet because they can now take the same thing that's going on Twitter and then live stream it now?
I think I would. You know what's interesting though? I haven't used Periscope yet.
You haven't?
Nope.
Wow.
I've been in Periscopes from friends, like, you know, at conventions and stuff, but I haven't started using Periscope myself because I don't really do any live streaming.
You should totally try it.
I'm a weirdo.
No, a lot of people are kind of afraid of it, you know.
I'm afraid of it. How does it work?
No, right.
I open Snapchat and I'm just like, I don't understand this application at all.
Yeah, I can assemble Snapchats. Computers, but I can't push two buttons. Come on, Shannon.
So it's like, wow. Oh,
I can do everything that you can, but I can't Periscope.
Show me how to do it and I'll do it. Okay, fine.
Well, actually, she just did a tutorial.
Yeah, I did actually on Facebook mentions versus Periscope.
Awesome. We'll watch your tutorial.
There you go. It's kind of long, but that's
okay. You started to say another.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Another thing on social.
I use Instagram a lot. Although I don't know if I would recommend people follow me there because I did post a lot of pictures of couponing.
Was that for your own personal use or what?
Well, kind of. I give a lot of my stuff away. I love going into a store. It's like a video game, but in real life, where you know that you're getting the max points if you walk out and you didn't pay a dime. It's so awesome. It's like, oh, I just own this Target.
Okay, I need to learn from you because I am, seriously, I'm like, every once in a while, I'll get these coupons in the mail or I'll see a coupon app and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to coupon and I'm going to get good at this. And then I totally forget anything when I'm at the store. Like,
well, that's because you can't do it on Amazon too.
Well, yeah, you can't use them on Amazon. And then, but physical stores, like you go in and I've left the coupon in the car and I don't realize it or at home or whatever. I'm just terrible at it. I don't know how to do it.
So have you ever seen extreme couponing?
I've heard the term. Is that like a TV show or something?
What? Yes, it's a TV show. where have you been?
I don't watch TV.
Well, I don't either, but this stuff's been on Netflix things.
Well,
it is. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I'll watch one in honor of you.
Oh my gosh, it's kind of weird. A lot of them are hoarders, but they can go into a grocery store and get like 5,000 Gatorades for 10 cents. Yeah, legit. I'm not that good. But they usually go into these stores with giant binders of coupons. I have done that. It's a little embarrassing, but I have done that.
Do you have like this cool stickered out notebook that you carry in there and like with your pen and everything and walk in like you mean business, just like walking in there like you own the place?
Sometimes they treat you like crap if you walk in and you're like, yeah, I'm a couponer. So I always hide it in a tote bag. And then I get to checkout and I'm like, Whew, okay, I'm ready. And at that point, they can't do anything. So I'm like, all right, I'm good.
And then everybody behind you is like, oh, great, here we go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen the eye rolls and things like that. And then I'm like, oh, what are you getting? Oh, you're getting some shaving cream? Here you go. Save yourself some.
That's like, awesome.
Oh, thank you. I'm like, yeah. Treat people nice and they'll treat you nice. Thank you.
There you go. I remember my mom used to have like a that index card box that flips open. She used to do coupons in that.
Yeah.
So I remember going to the grocery store and having to wait through that process. So I've been very timid to like just take it all out because I remember that.
You can do it a lot faster now because there's websites that just they tell you what deals you can do. So you just got to make sure you have the right coupons. You walk in and you can walk out with a really awesome deal. Yeah. So I was couponing for about a year total over the course of 2 years. I would take breaks. And I have a garage full of stuff now, like toilet paper, like crazy. But I give a lot of it away too. There's a homeless guy that works. Well, he doesn't really work, but he'll do like, you know, kind of like easy work around the neighborhood for people. He'll wash your car. He'll trim bushes and stuff like that. And people will give him money for it. So I noticed like, he doesn't have many hygienic materials. Like he didn't have a hairbrush. He didn't have toothpaste and stuff like that. So I gave him like a few bags full of all these hygienic materials that I figured he would need. And he loved it. He was so grateful. And the Valley Fire that happened recently in California, my friend came over to the Hack 5 warehouse and she said, do you have any empty boxes? Which we do because we ship stuff out from the warehouse. So she goes, do you have anything else that I could take up to the Valley Fire victims? And I was like, do they need toothpaste? She goes, yes, they do. So I gave her, I had two boxes full of shampoo, conditioner, like body wash and deodorant, just all these things that you kind of take for granted every day, but you really need whenever your house is destroyed. So I was like, I got this stuff for free, so I might as well just give it away because I'm not going to use it all. It makes me feel better, too, to give it away. So, yeah, I'll give things away all the time.
That's awesome.
So if you ever need anything, stop by my house.
Yeah, I'm actually compiling an email right now.
Yeah, I'm getting low on toothpaste, actually.
I would have shipped my sister boxes because she moved out of my mom's house, and she barely makes enough to pay her bills. So I was like, well, tell me what you need. I'll send you stuff. So I was sending her boxes like every 2 months or so of all sorts of necessities, and she was really grateful. So I'm happy to share the wealth if there's any way that I can.
That's awesome.
So you got anything, David? You want to take it a different direction?
No, I like this direction. The one thing that I don't think we talked about, like, so you started podcasting and everything, but you really didn't talk like so. Maybe a little bit of the history of your journey through podcasting, you know, like how you started. And
yeah, we kind of jumped to couponing.
Yeah,
we did. Sorry, I got excited.
Oh, no, we are definitely not a on course.
We're rabbit chasers.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We
love it. It's a conversation. That's what happens when you're drinking and you talk to people. I wouldn't know. podcasting. Yeah. So let's see. Started doing Hack 5. It was just a hobby. We were only doing it like once a month. And then we signed on with Rev3. They put us under contract and we're like, yeah, sponsors. And we were like, woo, cool, sponsors. So we started doing the show every week. And we would do it at like 2 o'clock in the morning because we all had full-time jobs and it was beer money. So there were times when we forgot to record audio. It was that bad.
Yay, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, we've all done that. Oh, or forgot to hit record at all. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Been there. Yeah. And then you look down and you're like, oh, no. Oh, guys. Guys, I think we're not recording. Oh, it's the worst feeling.
It really is. Always hit record. Have a list. Always. If you're going to do a podcast, have a list of your pre-show to-dos. And on that list, you only need one thing.
Oh, man.
Hit record.
Yeah, well, and there's our community, Digital Phil. He made an image of me. And whenever we're getting ready to go live, he puts that out to remind me to hit record now. So,
speaking of which, just a shout out to Digital Phil. He had a bit of bad luck and wound up in the hospital. So we all hope you feel better this week and get out quickly and back to your chickens.
And your GIFs.
All right, just sorry, quick aside.
I don't know who this dude is, but he sounds awesome.
He is awesome.
We call him, he makes GIFs all the time.
GIFs.
Aw.
GIFs, well, GIFs.
I hope you feel better, dude. So yeah, I did Hack 5 and turned into a thing that we were doing weekly. Eventually, actually, this is kind of weird. My dad had some health issues, so I decided to move back from Virginia, back home to where my mom and dad live, so I could be close to my family. So I went home for a year, and I was just like sending in remote segments every week, which was kind of horrible, but I did it because, you know, Darren asked me to, and I was like, okay, dude, I will try. I will do my best. So I did, and my camera was so bad. I did not know what I was doing at that time, but we survived. And eventually he ended up moving out here to San Francisco. He was like, hey, you know, if I give you a raise, will you move to San Francisco? And I was like, okay, sure. So I did, moved out here, moved into this like horrible little apartment. And we were, doing Hack 5 out of a guy's garage for a while, which was a little odd, but it worked out.
Who was the guy?
His name's Dave Randolph. You probably know him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he was letting us shoot out of his garage. So we did that for like 6 months or a year or something like that. Ended up finding a much better place that we could rent. So we moved into the Hack Firehouse in Richmond. And that was super fun because it was like, yeah, first time we're doing the show. And we have an office and we're not doing this in our living room or a garage. We can like set up lighting and we can get good cameras. It was so cool.
Well, and that brick, I mean, that was a cool building.
Yeah, it was.
The brick, yes. We had always had brick, and then we walked into this building, and they had real brick. And we were like, ooh, real bricks. They're not made out of plastic. We should rent this place. So we did. But once I started doing the show there, I talked to Darren one day, and I was like, I really want to start, you know, getting my name out there and doing other shows. I want to meet people, and I want to educate, and I want to learn. And I was like, I feel like I don't just want to be this InfoSec girl. I want to be like a gadget girl and InfoSec girl, and I want to be the Arduino girl. And he was like, do what you got to do. So I got a job at Twit. I was producing Before You Buy, so hey, gadget, yay. So I got the reviews out of the way.
Yes.
And then I started doing a coding show up there. I ended up doing a hobbyist show about vampires, which was, it was unpaid, but it was just me and my friends doing this audio show about vampire shows. It was called Bite Club.
Awesome.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
It's sweet party.
Do you still do that?
No, not anymore. Well, one got pregnant, so she had a kid. Another one moved down to LA, so she ended up getting so busy with her day job that she couldn't do the show anymore. So then at that point, it was just me, and I was busy with Twit, so I was like, you know, maybe we should just put it on hiatus, and it never came back, so I think it's done.
Okay.
That happens sometimes. It was an awesome show, though. It was so much fun. So I did Twit, and then I ended up getting on Techzilla after Veronica Belmont left. Mm-hmm. Just happened to, you know, text them one day, and I was like, do you guys need a new host? Because I'm looking for work. And they said, yes, oh my gosh, come in. So I did, and did Techzilla for a while. And now, that was just 1.5 to 2 years ago. After Techzilla got canceled, I decided, okay, I think it's time for me to go all freelance. So I did. So now I'm freelancing with Hack 5. Tech thing, which is the baby of Techzilla, I guess you could say. And I'm doing Sony Signal by Sony with Sony, just to talk about like all their new products that are coming out. And I do Threatwire, which is a Hack 5 affiliate show, which is about like the news that's coming out about security and internet protection or internet privacy. So it's been a journey. It really has.
It sounds like a fun one, though.
It's been a very fun journey. Yeah, it's been crazy. I've learned a lot. There's a lot of amazing and interesting people that I've met. And I'm so grateful for all the opportunities that I've had. And I don't regret any of them at all. Even if there's been drama or like bad days at work, which everybody has bad days at work. I mean, we all do. And sometimes we're like, dang it, I'm going to quit. And then you're like, no, I love this job too much. It's like, oh, I'll just have a beer. I'm good. Whatever.
Now was TechZilla where you first met Patrick Norton, or was that, had you known him before? Or?
I met him back in 2010 at CES. That was a fun CES. Wow. I got so plastered. Yeah, I met him, Tom Merritt. I met pretty much the whole gang back in 2010. So it's been about 5 years since I've known him, but I didn't actually start doing shows with him until I did TechZilla back in, when did I start doing that show? Early 2014 or late 2013, I believe, is when I did that.
Cool.
Patrick is awesome.
And now you're working with him every day. So that is that how, yeah. What's that like?
Man, I hate that guy.
He's not funny at all. I mean, yeah, he's not knowledgeable. Like,
he brings a lot of energy to the space.
Oh, seriously.
Sometimes I'll walk in the morning and he'll be like, I had some coffee. Woo! And he screams at the top of his lungs.
And that man can tell a story.
Oh, he can. He's got stories. Yeah, his nickname here is Guy That Tells Stories.
You don't want to shorten that up a little?
No. Just no. Guy that, yeah, anytime that somebody new pops by, you know, to see the place or whatever, we're like, so that's Patrick. He's Guy That Tells Stories. That's Darren. He does all the things. That's Seb. He does all the code. And that's Shannon. And she makes the shows good.
Yes, she does.
Those are our jobs.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, I know that you've had a long week. You've been extremely busy, and so we don't want to keep you too long. But we really, really appreciate you allowing us to kind of get to know you a little bit more, allowing the audience to get to know you a little bit more, and a little advice and insight, too.
Sure. Yeah, I'm so happy to be on the show. It was so awesome to join you guys, and I love what you are doing with Geeks Life and with the entire network that you've built over there. I think it's amazing, and I highly suggest to anybody who hasn't seen everything else that you guys are developing over there to go watch it, because it's awesome.
Thank you.
So thank you guys, too, because what you're doing up there is really incredible. So I look up to what you're doing as well.
Well, and the same goes out to you. I mean, we exactly. Yeah, we sit here and watch tech thing together. So we really like what you guys are doing. And
what?
And yeah, so why don't you tell everybody really quick where all they can find you, or, you know, whatever you want to
tell them. The websites that you want to pitch.
Yeah, I think techthing.com is where you can find Tech Thing. It's T-E-K thing. So T-E-K, no C. And then hack5.org, H-A-K-5.org is where you can find Hack 5. And that's also where I do ThreatWire and all those shows. But if you don't feel like going to .coms or .orgs, just follow me on Twitter. I'm at Snubs. And that's S-N-U-B-S, no double B.
Wait.
I don't know why people put an extra B, but they do.
Because they're thinking just Stubbs, you know.
Right.
So it's like
the barbecue place.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. It sounds
Wait.
Really good.
Where did Snubs come from? We didn't even answer that.
Oh, man. So it's really boring. I'll tell you anyway. I'll make it exciting. One day, Shannon Morse and her friend Danny were hanging out on the driveway in an early, early morning before high school. She was in the ninth grade. He was a great friend. And he said to her, Shannon, you play lots of video games and you're always on AIM. Why don't you have a good screen name? And she said to him, sir, I do not know how to answer that question correctly because, as a matter of fact, I don't have a screen name that I could use every single day. So he said to her, you should get a good screen name. I think one would be the Snubsy Boo. And she said to him, the Snubsy Boo. I like that. So she started using it on AIM and MSN Instant Messenger. And after that, it shortened down to Snubsy. And after that, it became Snubs, because that's so much easier to spell than Snubsy or Snubsy Boo.
And that is awesome.
And you know what is another amazing thing? That you actually have that on Twitter.
Snubs. Oh, yeah. I know. Snubs, yeah.
That was early, man. That was like 07, 06.
Yeah, you'd have to be, because, yeah.
Five letters? What?
I know. No one has that.
And they make sense? What?
They're not a string of random letters, yeah.
The only thing missing from that story was the dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Music. That's true.
Yeah.
Early warning, right before school. That's the most exciting I've ever made that story before, by the way.
That was good. That was really good.
We appreciate the effort. It was fantastic. I was engaged the entire time.
If you put half the effort into playing the ukulele that you just did that story, you are going to be awesome.
And you won't even need 10,000 hours.
Yep.
Over 9,000. Not quite.
All right, you guys go follow Shannon at Snubs and techthing.com and go support them if you enjoy their content. They work their booties off.
They do.
Thank you, guys. It was good chatting with you.
Yeah, you too. All right. We love all of you who listen and watch, and we appreciate your support over here as well at geekslife.com/register. I had to look at the TV to remind myself of the link because we keep changing. All right. We're out of here. Everyone say bye.
Bye.
Bye.